This episode is brought to you by Scion Cider Bar. With over 150 imported ciders to choose from, plus a selection of local beer, local spirits, wines, and snacks, Scion Cider Bar is bringing an all-new tasting experience to Salt Lake City. Scion offers 20 craft ciders on tap with a rotating selection that will blow your mind and keep you coming back for more. Located at 916 Jefferson Street, West Salt Lake City, right by Central 9th Market, Mad Dough, Blue Copper Coffee Room, Water Witch, and Laz's Kitchen. With plenty of room inside, a patio, and a friendly, well-trained staff, this will be the place to be. Like the saying goes, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. So I guess that means a cider a day? The more you can play? See you at Scion Cider Bar. Until the next cider, my friends. Listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, friends, an episode I've been looking forward to for so long. I get to interview one of my heroes and a brewer that I look up to, Miss Jackie King. Jackie, welcome today.
Hi.
We are in your brew house, well, your brewery. This is your spot.
Yes, we get to be at Rooster's B Street. One of our multiple locations, but this is our big production facility, my favorite spot out of all of the spots we have. And thank you for making the long drive up to Ogden. It's not that far, but...
It was fine. I got to listen to my book the whole way up. It was nice. There was no huge traffic, and it wasn't... Last time we came up, it was stormy. Remember that, Jamie?
Oh, yeah.
But Jamie, you're co-hosting today. Thank you, Jamie. Yes. Burnham. How
Thanks
you doing?
Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. I mean, I thought it made sense. If I could get all the Pink Boots ladies all the time, that one time we did all... I want that every time, but... It's hard to do, right? But Ogden's Own right across the street. A question off the bat for you ladies. So how often do you guys hang out right after work?
In the spring and summer, way more often than we do in the winter.
Yeah. We're on the patio over here fairly regularly, at least once a week.
At least once a week.
Yeah. And then now that Ogden's Own has opened their bar, they are also going to have a patio. So we have options.
No, be like super cool. 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So make it seven.
Because the bar is fully stocked and operational, right?
It is.
In Ogden Zone. So when you ladies all went there for a Pink Boots meeting, tell me about that. Talk to me about that meeting. I want to hear about that.
Our Pink Boots meeting?
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun. We did a distillery tour. I got to show off our still and teach the ladies about the canned cocktails that we've made. Went into the sidebar, showed that off. Everybody was excited.
And then so pretty.
Invited everybody up for our soft opening. And I think nearly every Pink Boots member has been up there now.
Yeah, we had a big turnout for that. And that was one of our more social outings. It wasn't like an official meeting. The distillery tour, when Jamie was teaching us how distilling works and how to make the canned cocktails, that was an official meeting because we were learning about things. But the nice little soft opening was just a social get together. So that was super cool. And the cocktails over there are magical. They are
literally smoking mirrors out over there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They have a new one on the menu that looks like an ice cream cone, like a literal ice cream cone.
Stop.
It's in a glass that's shaped like a cone. And then the drink itself is in the cone, and it's a color of an ice cream cone, and then they put that cool little smoke ball on top.
No way.
It looks like ice cream, and then it's,
all right.
I don't know.
What are you ladies doing after work today? Like, let's go.
They don't open till 4, but yes, let's go over there.
Wow, that's really cool. That's just eye candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're probably tasty as well.
So tasty.
Oh my goodness. So Jamie, how's the cocktail in the cans going?
Good. We haven't done any new recipes just yet. We, took three of the six flavors to the DABC, and so we're seeing how those will sell, and hopefully we can get all six listed, general listed in the DABC, and then we'll start our R&D.
I'm excited for you because I can't wait to see what else you come up with.
I'm excited.
You have, I know you have a bunch of ideas. Keep them in your head.
Oh,
but
for sure.
I want to see them. Just release them, Jamie.
Thanks.
God damn it. Jamie, one last question for you before we start. What is one of your favorite attributes about Jackie?
Oh my goodness. This girl has the biggest heart of anyone I've met. When I met her in spring of 2017, no, it was June because it was for the Slug Brewstillery.
It was, yeah.
We have a mutual friend in common, and he told me that I must go over and introduce myself to Jackie King because she's good people. And he's right. She's good people.
It's a common statement about you, Jackie.
Aww.
I introduced myself to her.
No,
and
I'm blushing.
We have been tied at the hip nearly for 4 years now. Going
almost
on five.
Yeah. Aww. We're going to have our 5-year anniversary this June, guys.
I love it. No, but Jackie, this is why we're here for this episode. I wanted to interview you I want to get to know Jackie more. So I did a year in review a couple weeks ago, released it, looking back at 2021. And my buddy at the time, co-host, he asked me, what was one of the most intimidating episodes you had to sit in? And I'm like, oh, I know that one. When you have five ladies at one table from the Pink Boots and they all just flex the whole time. Yeah, I was shaking. I was had the nervous sweats. And I remember telling Julia, oh my God, I don't think I could do this. Because it turned out to be Jamie, Lauren, Jackie, Corinne, Julia. And I'm like, I can't do it. But that was one of my favorite episodes. Not just because you guys are here. Like, I talk about that. It really is. Because at one table were these bright stars in the community who are just amazing human being. And you said good people.
Yeah.
Like, Jamie, you also are good people.
Thank you.
Jamie is good people. Yeah. But we're all like, we shouldn't be intimidating at all because everybody, speaking for myself and the women at that table, we're all a bunch of dorks and silly, silly ladies. But we also, I mean, we care a ton about beer and we have a lot of knowledge across all of us.
And as an up and coming brewer and someone who is getting into the craft beer scene, like fascinated about it, to have those passionate people at one table, it was just, oh my God. For me, it was just overload and I loved it, every second of it. And again, thank you for that memory, ladies. I'll never forget that. It was fantastic. And so now we are. I'm slowly going to interview each and every one of you. I'm going to get there. So Jackie, I want to know, who is Jackie? Where are you from? What started it? Why beer? Why are we here?
Why beer? Well, I am from Utah. My dad was in the Army. So we moved around a lot, but this was always home. And really what got me started in beer was we lived in Germany for a while and I went to Oktoberfest with my parents and my father ended up getting bumped and spilling a beer on me. So that was kind of just like a little funny anecdote. But living overseas, you just really do see the culture that is beer and alcohol from an outside point of view, where in the U.S., I think if you're growing up here, people are looking at beer and alcohol as a way to an end of, I'm going to go out and party and I want beer. But there's such a huge culture and history behind it. And even like in Germany, you can drink at a younger age than 21. That's kind of what started me loving beer. And then I moved back to Utah after college, and was working in another male dominated industry. I was working in the automotive industry and I didn't like it. Hmm. So I thought, I love beer. I love history. Let me give this a go. Like, why can't I do it?
I like that.
Yeah. So I gave it a go and here I am 7 years later, almost 7 years later. So
why can't I do that? Can we put that on a shirt?
Yeah.
Why can't I do that? Mm-hmm. Jackie, I really like that. It's going to stick with me all day.
Yeah, I hope so. Guidance counselors out there really should tell kids in high school that beer is like, this is a valid industry, a valid option. Yeah. Distilling, winemaking, all these trades have been around forever. Yeah. We're not going anywhere.
No.
So it really would be cool to see more kids pursuing this at a collegiate level because there are so many great programs out there now. So
yeah, which reminds me, I'm reading a book, Jamie, that you gave to the girls and I got a copy of it.
Yes.
It's The Women in the Brew House.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Tara's amazing.
I'm over halfway done with that. And this is going to sound weird. At one of the end of the chapters, we were talking about a female brewer who, her and her husband, she was the brewer. Mm-hmm. It's typically what happens. She was the brewer. The husband just got all the notoriety, famous for it. God damn. But she, during COVID, had terminal cancer and ended up passing away. And because of COVID, no one could like say their goodbyes really. So after COVID kind of ended, they had like, the husband tried to, it's like one day when, telling Tara, like, after COVID's kind of died down, I'm bringing everyone to the house and having the proper memorial that I would have wanted for her but couldn't have had. And I'm sitting there like, what? It was like, damn it. And someone that was so powerful in the beer industry didn't get to say, all the friends come and say goodbye. And I'm like, I put myself in her shoes. I'm like, that would have devastated me. But, I mean, her last days, according to the husband and the daughter and Tara, like, were great. Like, she wasn't sad. She was, at the very end. But I'm like, oh, my God, this is so powerful. So, Jamie, thank you for that book, by the way.
Of course.
And I'm learning so much, and I'm different beer ideas, and I just want to meet everything. And then I've learned that I thought that Jenny Talley was the first female brewer in Utah. And that's, according to the book, that's not true. And I'm like, what? And so, yeah, I know.
Yeah, Wasatch. God, I'm blanking on her name, but she was at Wasatch in Park City.
Mm-hmm, with Greg. So she started with Greg.
Mm-hmm.
And I just blanked the name, too. I just can't believe it. I'll pull up in the book. But, yeah, so I learned that. I'm like, wait a second. So the first brewer in Utah
was a female.
Prohibition was a female. And I'm like, it makes sense. Yes. It makes sense. So, Jamie, thanks again. But it is a male-dominated industry. I get that. I've been working with Julie a lot lately over in Strap Tank in Springville and talking to her about that. And she feels the pressure of that too. She feels the thumb on that. So my question to you ladies is, what's something you can do to voice your opinion that what do you see happening in the future when it comes to this male dominated industry? What would you like to see happen in the industry?
I want women to realize that they can do this, that it is an option. For me as a brewer, like that's what I want to be known as. I want to be a brewer. I don't want people to just come up and, be like, oh, you're a female brewer, or like, what's it like being a lady in the industry? I hope that we get to a time where like that question has no validity. It's just, I'm in the industry. I work as hard as everybody else, all my coworkers. And we're moving in that direction, but
yes, taking a little bit of time, but.
Cause I've never said anyone, oh, a male brewer. This is a male brewer. Never said that.
No one says a male brewer.
No one ever says male brewer.
Mm-hmm. But
a lady brewer or a female brewer. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah, so I dropped that pretty quick. So at the beginning, like, I'm like, oh, you're a female brewer. Like, that's cool. Because it was unknown. It was like, oh, that's really cool. But now it's like, oh, you're a brewer? Same. That's how it goes now.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, fascinating to see. Because Julie is doing amazing things down there in Utah County, of all places. And I'm like, you got this. Like, you can keep doing this. And so once her wings get out there and she can freely fly, that girl is going to be unstoppable.
Oh, she's
amazing. Yes, she is. And she, she's a Southern, really like the southernmost outlier. And it's got to be incredibly hard because she is, we talk about how sometimes you just feel like you're on like a little island. You're on a little brew island. You just want to be part of a team. And especially, in Utah, the way a lot of spots are set up, it's easy to get that feeling. If you're brew pub brewing, just depending, you can kind of feel that isolation. I think we do have a good community here where you can reach out to any of your fellow brewers, cellar people, canning line, anything with any questions if you need, if you need it. So, but yeah, Julie is a rock star.
Like well, that. And she got our chapter started here in Utah.
I know,
she
is that insane?
Yeah.
So that's how passionate she is. And then to be able to work underneath her has been fantastic. I've learned so much. And her and I, she does it in a way where instead of putting me down, it's more complimentary. Okay, yeah, I see where you're coming from. This is where I'm coming from. Let's talk about it. And
right.
Like, she's so, I love that about her. I wish more brewers in our industry were like that.
Right, treat each other as contemporaries.
Yeah.
I like your thoughts, okay? They're not wrong. Like, why'd you do it this way? No, okay, why'd you do it this way? I want to know why. Okay, cool. Interesting, but tell me about it.
Yeah.
And the way she handles everything, I'm like, sometimes I'm worried, uh-oh, fucked up, Julia's gonna get mad, but then she's like, nope, shit happens. Mm-hmm. Like, shit happens.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah.
Well, and if you start conversations rather than just saying, do things this way because this is the way we've already always done them, yeah, you're gonna, maybe you'll figure out, hey, I can CIP two tanks at once, or mm-hmm, I can link all of my hoses in this tank CIP, and now, everything is clean. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to have conversations rather than just saying, this is why we do things this way, do it.
And she's good at saying, what would you, like, how would you do this?
Right.
It's like, it's a good question leading into something I she can't see it in my point of view. So like, how, tell me how you see it. I'm like, okay, I'll I guess my voice is, it wants to be heard. And that's what I think this industry needs more of, is just people want to be heard. Okay, I'm listening. So we need people that say, I want to be heard, and we need more listeners. Okay, let's go.
Absolutely.
And that's why even, you know, you've seen the distilling industry, you know, like people have thoughts and like your cans are coming out, right? Your recipe ideas, but your ideas need to be heard. So who's going to listen to that? Right. And I'm glad that we all have an outlet where we can be heard. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's slowly getting there. So Jackie, when it comes to brewing, so we went back to Utah, automotive industry. How did you get into Roosters?
So I was lucky enough to know, I kind of had some ins at Roosters. I knew the GM. He was one of my really good friends, Brandon Bingham. And
still a GM here?
Yeah. Cool. He's actually our national sales rep.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. So he's moved up, and we've stolen him entirely onto the beer side now. So
he
was on the restaurant side. But now we have taken him over to the beer side. And he's killing the game in sales. Sales is so hard. Like, hat off to all of you sales reps out there. I don't know how you do it. I've tried to do it before. I have a great personality, but I don't have the personality for sales. So I kind of, you know, I said, hey, I want to start brewing. So I started bartending, and I would bartend and then come in the morning, and brew, and started learning how to brew that way. And then I was lucky enough within really a year and a half of doing that to end up with the position at 25th Street. And at that time we had 25th Street and we had Layton, and those were our only two locations. So I came over to Roosters bartending in 2014. I started kind of sneaking my way into the brew house in, I want to say, like October of 2015. And then I think summer of 2016, I was brewing full time.
Oh, so, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, it's not your average path. The goddess Ninkasi was just like rolling out the red carpet for me, basically, and paved the way in grain and hops for me to start brewing. But since then I have just tried, kind of like you, tried to be a sponge, absorb everything that I can, attend every class that I can, read every book that I can. So that's been super cool, just kind of dealing with that educational aspect on my own. So.
And accolades, if you have any awards? So
we've won some awards at Idaho Falls. I found out this year our honey wheat made it to the medal round at GABF. So that's like pretty big.
That's
like
big
pretty
news.
Big for us.
Yes.
So next year, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll do something. And then I was lucky enough to be in the second ever session of the Brewers Association mentorship program. So I was a mentee. We just finished that up, and they just closed the application process, I want to say December 24th. And that program was amazing. I have made lifelong friends and mentors.
That's cool.
And if I cannot stress enough, if you are in this industry, apply for that. And what they don't tell you is you get a $1,500 scholarship to further your education after you complete that course.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to be using that money to actually go to Siebel and, you know, get that piece of paper and extend my knowledge through Siebel. Oh, so
Jackie, that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You're still
for
learning.
That.
Like there's no cap for your knowledge. I love that.
I think in this industry, that's what we all need to really realize, is there is no cap for knowledge in this industry. We are constantly making new discoveries. I haven't been in the industry that long. When I started, nobody knew what caused hop creep. We knew it was there, but no, it's like, it happens. Who knows? Now we know. So there is, if you just kind of sit on your knowledge, then you're hurting yourself and you're hurting your own brewery. Just always expand your knowledge. Get your hands on everything that you can out there.
Explain to those who don't know what hop creep is.
So hop creep is when you're dry hopping a beer, you'll get this gushing, and what nobody really knew what was happening. We kind of just assumed that, well, there's some sort of a chemical reaction going on. And what we have found out is that there is actually further fermentation. So there are sugars in hops that are being broken down and fermented. And that's why we're getting this hop creep and gushing from these heavily hopped beers. which can be very dangerous. Fruit beers and, mm-hmm. and heavily hopped beers can be dangerous yeah. in cans.
Do not turn your back.
No. And take pressure off everything.
Take pressure off everything. God, yes.
That's scary. You try to dry hop something, you just kind of open everything up. Like, yeah. I check like 3 times. I think I've gone up the ladder a dozen times, and then I think I can do this. Right, let's go.
Yeah. I've heard stories of people falling off of ladders due to hop creep and gushing, and that scares the crap out of me. So
yeah.
Broken legs, broken arms.
Ooh. I've heard things from Derek from the Uinta, like opening up and just this huge volcano of just death. I'm like, this is scary. That yeah. does not sound fun.
I think I remember seeing Chad dry hopping something and it kind of blowing up a little bit. And there was, I think it was the black, no, because we wouldn't have dry hopped the blackberry sour, but like something happened and I was like, what's going on? It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm used to it by now.
Oh my goodness. So brewing, you've been brewing. So what's your position? What's your title in Roosters?
So I am the head of our R&D. So that means that I get to do the crazy recipes. It's really fun for me because my favorite beer to drink ever is a Pilsner or an ice crisp lager. But I do enjoy making the weird things. So I get to throw lactose. I've thrown full pecan pies in my mash. I have done mash ton hopping. So I get to try all these new things, use all these new yeast strains, and some of them are great. But they'll only ever be small batches because they just don't make sense to scale up. But a lot of the weird and fun and amazing recipes have gotten picked up and we scale them up to 30 barrels and 60 barrels and they're out in market. So that's super cool.
So what's that like seeing one of your beers being out there?
We kind of at Roosters, especially we try and have the idea that it's a Roosters beer. It doesn't really matter whose recipe it was. It's, you know, it was a team effort from whoever wrote it to whoever brewed it to whoever cellared and transferred and spun and canned it. It really is a team effort. But the Jetway Juicy, which is Lauren and I's collab, that's the beer that I'm the most proud of. Lauren wrote the description. We collabed and wrote the recipe, brewed it together, and everything like down to the label. We designed the label. That's Lauren cool. and I, we weren't the designers on the label, but we sent the idea off to Long Weekend Studio and then got drafts back, edited. So that really is me and Lauren's baby. And I'm super proud of that beer. So
is that still on in the airport?
Yeah. Yep. So that's in the airport. It is in 16-ounce cans as well. So it's made it through pretty much all the Mavericks up here in northern Utah. And I know that we have been sending cans down to Salt Lake. I'm just not sure what the footprint is quite yet. So different distributor so cool. in Salt Lake than up here. So
I love that. I love that because you're always creating, Jackie. Super cool. I love that. You're always growing. This is why you're a badass. It makes sense. So back in the day, we talked about getting behind a trend. You want to start a trend.
Yes.
So you're doing all these fancy beers. You're doing collabs. So is there a trend you're thinking about? What's another trend? Like, are we on that? Do we know of something?
I still, just because I want to do it, I want to try a lactose lager because I know if Lauren is listening to this, I know she'll hate it.
She just rolled.
It. I yeah. know she did. Oh.
But there are... Omega Yeast has actually come out with these thiol-producing yeast strains. So Cosmic Punch is one of them. So you're putting hops in your mash tun, like when you're doing your sparge, and you're still getting all those like super citrus-forward flavors. That's the theory, but you can use Cascade or a hop that is not as expensive as, say, Mosaic or Citra or, you know, your big heavy hitters, one that's more readily available. So I would like to try and do a thiol-producing strain on a lager, maybe do a hybrid with that Cosmic Punch and a lager yeast and see what happens.
Ooh, that's really cool.
But, yeah, I think hybrid beers are really, really cool, mixing yeast strains. I'd like to do a little more of that. And then we were talking, so I may have started a trend
you
with
did.
The with the pumpkin chocolate chip beer.
She did.
Yeah. So I was the first one to do we were the first ones to do the pumpkin chocolate chip beer. And we had never done a pumpkin beer before. And I hate pumpkin spice lattes. I hate pumpkin pie, but I adore pumpkin chocolate chip cookies. So we did that Cosmic Autumn Rebellion. And then the next year, Red Rock put one out. So I was like, oh my gosh.
I started a trend.
Yes.
I did it. Yeah. But that's just kind of silly. But yeah, I think doing the fun, maybe hybrid yeast strains, and just trying to figure out like a really nice lager.
Fun little tidbit about the Cosmic Rebellion. They sent a request to Wayne Coyne of Flaming Lips to ask if they could use the artwork.
Really?
And he said,
the name, yeah.
Why, yes, you can use it.
Yes.
Fascinating.
And he has...
Wayne Coyne loves Ogden.
He does. So Flaming Lips comes here every year for the Twilight concert. And he actually had a art installation at the Monarch, which is just up the street on 25th Street. It's kind of our makers area. But he liked and commented on our Instagram post when that can released. And we did get the okay from him to use that because it is a Flaming Lips song. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Oh my God.
Our claim to fame.
Yes.
Little love them.
Oh my goodness. So trends. Cause I was trying to think of trends. Like what can I do to help Jackie start a trend? But then if I try to give you some ideas, it would be
your trend.
Right.
So but like, we can collab. We can have a collaborative trend.
So can we do like a hazy seltzer or a lactose seltzer?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Let's do a hazy lactose seltzer. That's dry hopped.
Triple dry hopped.
Triple dry hopped. And then we'll put some ingredient in it that nobody has ever done.
And lager it.
Yeah. There we go.
That's like all the hybrids in one.
Yeah.
Something Belgian in there too. It's like,
ooh, a Belgian seltzer. Oh my gosh. Okay, we're going to collab. We're going to do
We all heard this.
Here first.
I'm just going to sit and watch.
We're going to call it Hubba Bubba Seltzer.
Oh my God, I love it. Oh, Bazooka Hubba Bubba.
Yep, there we go. We'll get a cease and desist.
Oh my goodness, so fast. I love that. So collaboration with Lauren, that was super cool. I love when that came out. I geeked out when I went on to the airport and I saw... My homies, they have, when I saw the Roosters one open up, I think I texted you the picture. I'm like, oh my God, it's there. It's here. So exciting.
You have such a prime spot.
Walk in there, boom.
Yeah.
Through security. Hey, Roosters.
I think you see it before you see the Starbucks.
Yeah. Because
the Starbucks is kind of hidden a little bit, but Roosters is really right there.
We're right there. Yeah. It's a great location. That's been awesome for us. It's been a little interesting staffing that location. We're not really in charge of staffing it because the airport is sort of its own little entity. But our owner, you know, if the kitchen is short, our owner is heading down to Salt Lake and going to the airport and working the kitchen.
Wow, that's cool.
So yeah, Pete's super hands-on. He's awesome. But yeah, and then Kim and Pete Bouchard are our owners. And Kim is basically the reason we're in the airport because she's a maker. She puts people together and makes things happen. So
that's cool. You need that in your company to succeed for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So collabs, what's more collaborations we're going to have?
Oh,
well, I mean, Ogden's Own Distillery has already sort of collaborated with Roosters once before. We do have rye whiskey barrels and we gave them to Roosters and they put in the Baltic Porter.
Yeah, we did. So we did a Nordic Porter. So we did a Kvik yeast strain. So basically a Baltic Porter, but we threw Kvik on there, called it a Nordic Porter, barrel aged that. And then we've also done a barley wine and we just released a Belgian Tripel that was also in the Porter's whiskey barrels. So that we'll send you with one of those.
Ooh,
for sure.
When that come out?
So we got it in bottles right before the holidays. And then just kind of with everything going on, it ended up being like a really quiet release. But it is available.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Now I know. Right?
Yeah. So we'll send you with
showcase
that.
Some of that. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. So we got Ogden's Own going on. Do we have any other breweries or distilleries you're thinking about?
Oh,
or
I would
like to.
I would love to collab with anybody and everybody. Hopefully now that we'll see what happens with Beer Fest this summer, but hopefully the Guild will get the collab fest going again.
Oh yeah.
But that would be super rad. And then, of course we're going to have our Pink Boots Brew and that's actually at Uinta this year, which I am so excited about. Cause I really want to get my hands on that BrowCon and see how brewing on a BrowCon is. But that's my favorite collab of all time is doing the Pink Boots collab just to get all the women together. And I think it would be super cool this year because it should be the first year that we have women from all different fermentation sciences in there. So
That's
so that'll
really
be
cool.
Really rad.
Because you guys have sake, kombucha, mm-hmm. we have distilling.
Hard cider.
Ooh,
we don't
cider.
Have any, I don't think in the Utah chapter we have any winemakers yet. So if we can get on the Hive and then maybe some of the vineyards down in Moab, we'll have to reach out to them.
Yes, let's work on that.
For anyone interested in participating in the Pink Boots collaboration brew, you don't have to have a Pink Boots member. I mean, it's helpful. We will come down and brew with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you get some Pink Boots blend hops and make that beer, I mean, our ultimate goal is to have a Pink Boots beer on 12 months of the year.
Ooh, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And then someone, you walk in and you're like, can I have your Pink Boots beer? And whichever brewery has done.
They have it.
Yeah.
I really like that, ladies. Yeah. It's really cool.
This year's blend is really, really nice, too.
Do we know what's in the blend this year?
Oh, God. We do. Jamie will look.
Jamie's our stat.
Jamie's got it. I know it has laurel.
So with that, while Jamie's looking that up, when we brew a Pink Boots beer, is it only female?
No. So anybody can do a Pink Boots beer. The ask is if you do a Pink Boots collab beer, you do have to donate to Pink Boots. Whatever percentage, if it's just like a flat percentage of the beer, or if it's a percentage off every pint. But that helps Pink Boots give out scholarships, helps get more women into the fermentation industries. So it's well worth it. And it's kind of a cool thing.
How does one become a Pink Boots member?
So you just have to jump on pinkbootsociety.org, and you do have to apply because you do have to make a certain percentage of your income from the fermentation sciences, fermentation industry. You do not have to be in production. You do not have to be in sales. You can be front of house. You can be back of house as long as that.
You could be a server.
Yeah, you could serve anything.
You can be a manager.
A manager, yes.
Cool.
Yep. And not just beer. You can do beer, wine, kombucha, mead.
Yes.
Yeah. And not even
distilling
necessarily breweries, but if you work at a craft beer bar, a craft wine or not craft wine, but a wine bar, anything like that, you can apply. And then,
cause that'd be cool to see the DABC ladies, Pink Boots members. Cause then there'd be some education behind the DABC.
That would be amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right,
let's make that happen.
Circling back to the hop blend, this year's blend is Idaho Gem, HBC 630, Talus, Triumph, and Laurel.
Ooh, Talus is one of my favorite right now.
I just
made one with Talus. Oh,
having not been in the beer world for a little while, being introduced to Talus, I was like, what is this? Mm-hmm. This is because all of my hop knowledge, for the most part, came from when I was at the Beer Nut. So,
gotcha.
There's so many new hops.
I can't keep up with them.
What is this?
I'll joke with Derek. I'm like, it's like, hey, what kind of hops you want to put in the stout? A mosaic.
You're like
mosaic. Summit. I don't know.
Different.
So, I don't know. This random. And he looks at me like, why would you ever put that in? Like the other day, Mandarin Bavaria. We'll put that in the stout. Get out of the room. I love it.
HBC 630 is really nice.
It's really
too.
Nice.
So
yeah.
Once that gets a name, right now it's just
experimental hops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
I'm excited for that. And when's the Pink Boots, when's that collaboration that you went to happening?
We don't have a date for it yet. It will most likely be in March, around the 8th, I would think. The 8th is like a Tuesday this year, so it'll probably be before the 8th. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends on when they can fit us into their schedule, mm-hmm. where they're such a massive production brewery. We're at the mercy of the schedule, the brew schedule, which is totally fine. So
do you guys have any backlash from bigger, like, because, you know, UNS is pretty big, Squaws and Wasatch is pretty big. Mm-hmm. Do you have any backlash from Pink Boots getting in there?
No, it's more of just kind of availability. So many of these really large breweries have a set schedule. We're lucky enough with Wasatch and Squatters that they have multiple locations, multiple brew houses. So even if they don't brew it at the production spot, they can normally get a batch going up in Park City on their smaller system.
Like that. Yeah, Libby's gone up to Park City and brewed with Nils and some of the other.
And Nils is so accommodating when it comes to that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. Well,
Gals
and then they have
from High West were there, and
yeah, and they bring in Alex from Three Weavers a lot, right. And mm-hmm. she's and
oh, cool.
Yeah, she is an amazing, amazing brewer, and she is actually mentioned in that book as well.
Oh,
so yeah,
I'm pumped. I haven't gotten there yet, but by the way, her name was Amelia Pullman.
Amelia Pullman. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, Millie Pullman.
Millie Pullman.
That's right.
Yes,
Millie Pullman.
Yes.
One of the first or the first brewer in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
post-prohibition.
Yes.
Craft beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know anything before. I have no idea.
That was
idea.
In Dell's book too.
Probably.
Didn't Dell talk about that?
I'm sure. It's been so long since
I
read that.
I found that out and I dropped the book and I did my research on her. I tried to find out where she is, what she's doing. I found a podcast that she got interviewed on and she talked about it and didn't have quite nice things to say about the what happened. I'm like, okay, hey. But you know, unfortunately, if you go up to Park City, she's not on the walls as much. She's kind of in the back, and it's like, but damn, this is like one of the founder. Anyway, so it's fascinating to see that. But I just don't understand this segregation between. I still don't get the male-female thing. It's like as long as you can bring good shit to the table, let's go. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color your hair is, your eyes, just can't. I don't care. But it's fascinating.
We don't want everything to be pink.
No.
In fact, most things we don't want to be pink.
No.
I don't want.
We just want to make beer.
I just want to make beer.
Yeah,
I like that. Sit tight. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you. If you want to be, we are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. So with that, how is it? Is it hard bringing new members into the Pink Boots? Has it been difficult?
It's been challenging.
Yeah.
Well, bringing new members in and also keeping new members.
Mm.
I don't know. When I was the chapter lead, retaining, well, and also like, I, you know, during COVID, it was next to impossible to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
And all we could do was Zoom meetings.
Virtual, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was lovely to see everybody.
Zoom fatigue is real, though.
Zoom fatigue is a real thing.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there were a couple of members that we were like, hey, if you can't pay, we'll front you the money, whatever. We'll sponsor members to join. And I just don't know that there's a broad enough knowledge in the Utah market for everyone to know that this is available to them. Hmm. If we push it, and we push it and we push it. But then also I think we're fighting the reputation that like women, we all love each other and get along swimmingly. But I think that there's a reputation that we all like, that women can't be in large groups together without fighting.
Being catty. Yeah.
So.
But we're all about inclusion.
I think people to learn. I mean, it's all about educating and shared experiences and stuff. So
yeah, I think a lot of women might not realize what Pink Boots is all about either, and not really get the value of it, because it's kind of weird that it's like, okay, well, I have to apply, like I have to actually put in an application for this membership, and then they tell me if I can like be in this club or whatever. But it is so amazing, the scholarships that they have, just everything that you can learn through Pink Boots. It, you know, it just combines this wealth of knowledge in a single space. There are message boards. I've talked to people on the East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, all over with questions about brewing, to questions about like, what boots do you wear? What pants are the best for brewing? And I mean, there's, like, I can't go to my dude brewers and be like, well, what pants fit you the best for brewing? You know? So it really is, it is such a great just online community and in-person community that I think a lot of women don't see the value in. And it's definitely there. So
one of my questions for on that is, if I'm going to someone who's in the fermentation industry, doesn't like beer, how can I get them excited about Pink Boots, you know, being a part of Pink Boots?
This is a new challenge for us because as just recently, Pink Boots has opened up to the industry beyond. Right. So with our meeting at the distillery, with Jillian talking about sake, with Hannah and Kate with Hans Kombucha, like we are bringing in these women into our chapter and being like, look, you guys, it's not just about beer. You can be involved and there's still something to learn from each other. I cannot tell you how much I loved that meeting the meeting where Jillian taught us about Sukisaki. Like that was just, it blew. I was so excited. And then Kryn bought me some books and I learned some more about, I
want to see Jill make sake. Like I really want to like, can I come watch?
Yeah.
Just right. Like hover.
And I think that's definitely in the future for sure.
Cool. When they can make it, bring it here.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, that's so
gonna
excited.
Be so cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, with, Hannah and Kate.
Yeah. They're booch.
Yeah. Doing their hard booch too. So that's,
that comes out.
Right.
I'm excited.
So excited.
Yeah. But I think, for example, the kombucha is a great way of people who don't like necessarily alcohol, be like, oh, well, there's non-alcoholic ways to go about it as well. So there's, I know there's a lot of health-focused individuals, and that's still a way you'd be like, okay, well, it's not about beer and alcohol. Here's some kombucha.
Yeah, it's fermentation.
So it's fascinating. You guys kind of have this hurdle that poses the question, how do we get people more excited about Pink Boots? And so I'm sitting here thinking like, what? So what kind of outlets can we do to make Pink Boots more loud?
So we do have, we've tried to do this before in 2020, shout out to 2020. Thanks. We had a Pink Boots Fest planned and there we are in the just beginning stages this year again of doing not necessarily a Pink Boots festival, but a women in fermentation festival, however it looks. But that'll really get our name out, hopefully, to the women in this industry who want to join.
Yes. Yeah. So what can I do to help make that happen? Like, what can I help?
Well, once we have everything, plans, more than just penciled down and, you know, just word of mouth, really. And we will, I don't know, just be the best missionaries we can and try to get people interested in Pink Boots. I mean, I get that we're fighting an uphill battle, but it really, like, I have definitely learned so much more being a part of this organization than I would have by myself.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Well, I just think too, you know, if you go to your favorite brewery and there's a beer tender or whoever that you see that is a female and you're just like, hey, have you heard of Pink Boots? Like that's word of mouth from really like all of our friends. Anybody out there, if you know any Pink Boots members and you know somebody that will benefit from Pink Boots, just, you know, turn them onto it. Tell them, hey, check this website out. So
Libby did something for me. She gave me a stack of cards. She's like, you'll probably benefit from this. And so I don't have any more stack of cards, but like this is handing out a card like, hey, check this out. Check this out.
Yeah.
Check this out.
I can get you some more.
I would love some more because I think it's really cool because I like to talk about it. I geek out about everything, you know, especially when it comes to fermentation. So Pink Boots is one of them. And I always tell my wife, like, I wish you could be a part of Pink Boots. Like, I would love that. But she's not in the industry, right? But if she was,
she'd be in a second.
Does she ferment vegetables by chance?
No.
Could she teach us about fermenting
vegetables?
She air fries
a lot of cool things. So, like, can we ferment in an air fryer? That'd be awesome. There's a trend for you.
Yeah.
I think, jeez. I mean, with the way that it's all, you know, we're trying to just include as many people as possible. Yeah. That, I don't know, maybe in the future, partners can be.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Because I know when last time Julie did a Pink Boots blend, Pink Boots beer down there in Springville, we had a couple girls come down, and I know Derek's wife came down, tattoo artist. Diaz came down, cupcakes. She's she's a beer tender as well. And then my wife was going to go. Didn't happen schedule-wise. But, I mean, we had some non, I don't know, it was cool just to see. And they all were like, wow, this is what you guys do? This is really cool. Yes, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And because in Springville, Julie and I have to, like, manually, old school, you know, with an OR, put it down there and just kind of mash in. And the girls are like, you have to do this. This is manual labor? Yes. I'm going to sit here and push buttons. Like, yes. I get sweaty. Yes. This is why, yes.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to educate because I like I was telling you, Jackie, I would love to come watch you brew one day or come brew here, like, with you because I'm just like, I want to see different people's setups. Like, I want to go see, I want to go work at Neil's. I want to see how Neil's does it. I'm like, can I just come watch you? Like, you know, like,
yeah, he's got a super old brew house up there, all copper, beautiful. So, and then, I mean, you look at Ketos, and they have the only high-efficiency brew house in the state.
Oh, my goodness. Have you seen the
few, Yeah.
One, that's awesome. That was amazing. Fun to brew on.
So, that, I mean, that I would love to brew at Ketos, because I've seen that in action. I have never had the pleasure of brewing on it. And then, again, the BrowCon. Like, BrowCons are amazing. So
it'd be really cool to watch that, too. Yeah. And I think... watching Policy Kings down in Cedar City, on there, it's all handmade. So they went and had a buddy that helped them, and it's all this. Basically, imagine a homebrew setup, but, like, advanced. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. And I want to, like, Dre, can I watch this? Like, Sarah, can I watch you guys do this? Sarah, we got to get Sarah in the
pinkboards.
I just... We're
working.
Okay, yeah.
She definitely knows about pinkboards.
Good. Yeah. And then, like, Toasted Barrel. Toasted Barrel has, like, another system where it's kind of homebrew but advanced. Like, everyone's got different systems, but they all have great products. I want to watch this. Like, just being there and seeing it is really cool. Really cool.
Well, and the theory behind everything is the same, right? So the theory behind brewing, same wherever, but every system is different. So it is great to get that knowledge and see how everybody does things. And again, just talking about, like, asking questions and listening to people, you might go see somebody's brew house and be like, oh, we could do that on our brew house. And that, you know, I think we'd get better yields or whatever. So it's just, it really is all about collaborative efforts in making this industry better.
And that's why I have a hard time, and everyone can have their own opinion, but I have a hard time when people say, I don't care for collabs. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's over the top. I'm the complete opposite. I love collaborations because I would love to learn from ABC, but maybe I could teach someone ABC. I don't know.
Exactly.
Because so, I would love to come here one day and just see, like, even Ogden's own, and be like, how... show me. Just, I want to learn.
Teach me what you know.
And then maybe we come up with awesome ideas as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Think about. Two heads are better than one.
I mean, we already came up with a Belgian seltzer. So, oh, right? I mean, we're killing the game already.
Money.
Belgian seltzer. Sorry, Lauren.
Hazon seltzer.
Hazon.
Saison yeast. Hazy seltzer.
Gotta stop talking about this because all the secrets
are
coming out.
People are going to steal our ideas.
So there's trends. Here's a question, Jackie, that I don't... This is going to be a tough one, okay?
Oh, God.
If you could no longer drink beer, what would you do?
Die. Well... No, sorry. There is a brewer who just so happens to be a female, but she is a badass brewer in the UK who has celiacs.
Oh.
So she cannot... Tough. Taste or try any of her product, and she is putting out, and I wish I could remember her name, but this is an article I read probably 2 or 3 years ago, but she's putting out award-winning beer. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, so just because I couldn't drink it, I would still be in this industry. I would still be making beer. So it would be really, really hard, but yeah, I would stick it out. And then I have an interest in distilling. I think it would be super rad, but beer is my first love.
I like that because I feel like you could leave the brewing aspect and then just transition to the distilling aspect. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Fascinating. So, Jamie, if you could no longer drink alcohol, what would you do?
There's a brewery who's making really delicious non-alcoholic beers, Athletic Brewing Company.
By the way, do you get a stout?
Yeah.
How's the stout?
It's good.
It's really good. Yeah. My favorites of theirs are like sour. The rotational series. They did it was a dry hopped Goza and with Sabro hops. It was, cool. God, what was it called? I can't remember, but it was one of their like basically pilot series. And I got a 6-pack of those and I wish I would have bought way more because they were amazing.
Wow.
I've signed up for a subscription with them.
Hey, that's okay. And it helps with people who do dry January. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Still have that with their dinners or whatnot.
I have the stout and the Mexican cerveza mm-hmm. coming.
Ooh, have you tried the Mexican cerveza?
Yeah, it's actually really probably should have. It's ooh, good.
Interesting.
I think we have some downstairs.
Yeah.
We have it here.
I think that they have cracked the code.
Really?
On NA beer.
Because, I mean, I had a Heineken Zero the other day, and I couldn't get past the, it tasted like. Just
tastes like Heineken.
And yeah, I just couldn't do it. For me, it's you know when you get a bunch of corn and put it in a boiling water and throw a little bit of butter in there? That mm-hmm. water is yeah. what mm-hmm. that tastes like to me. Yeah. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It's tough. But
there was I don't remember exactly where they're, I think they were Belgian, called Green Brewing or something, and they also made an NA beer, but they were Belgian styles and they were better than like the mass.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good things are happening. Cool things are happening.
Yeah. They made like an amber and then some sort of Belgian. Science. I believe in the science.
I love it. Jackie.
Yeah.
What changes do you wish you could make in the overall beer scene? Not just for Pink Boots, but overall beer scene. And changes you'd make in the craft beer scene in Utah specifically?
Ooh. Overall beer scene for sure. Just acceptance of everybody, and not feeling like you have to fit into a certain mold in this industry. And a lot of it, unfortunately, comes from the consumer as well. Beer fests are probably like one of the things that I used to look forward to a ton, but that's where we, especially as women, get a lot of backlash is at beer fests. People being like, you don't actually make the beer. You don't really know anything about it. Yeah. And I would say it's getting better, but it's always the same at beer fests. We have in Utah, our big beer fests here have finally put out code of conducts, which are great. So it's just making sure that they enforce those code of conducts, with fellow brewers which we've never had, well, in state, we've never had problems with. Out of state, that's another story. but in state, our brewers have always been great at beer fests. But really, it's some of the clientele that comes to these events. Because, I mean, you mix alcohol and inhibitions go down and people say stupid things and do stupid things. And I thought 2021 was going to be different. And the very first Brewfest that I went to, I had another inappropriate comment. And it's just like, it's unfortunate. So
it won't die.
Yeah. So I would really, I'd like to see beer fests get better and safer. And then just our industry as a whole kind of be more accepting so that more people come into this industry. I'm really sick of it being a whitewashed, bearded, predominantly male industry. I want to see everybody that wants to be in this industry in this industry. And then in Utah, it's unfortunately just kind of our demographics here, but yeah, I want more diversity in this industry for sure. Mm. So especially in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, same question. What would you change in the, wish you could change in the craft beer scene overall and the craft beer scene in Utah?
I'm just going to tag team off of Jackie's answer. Cause I mean, having done so many beer festivals, that's probably like, it stopped being fun.
It's unfortunate.
Which, you know, I mean, it used to be a riot.
Sure.
But also, I don't know, I think trying to cram events into every single month of the year gets exhausting.
Tough. Yeah.
You know, so the people who are putting on these beer fests, you know, have seen that they make money. And so I would like, most definitely more inclusion. And I mean, for lack of better phrasing, just to stop abusing the people that are there, they make the events really long. A lot of the people planning these fests don't provide anything. Like we have to provide every every aspect of it, you know. I think, well, and there are a lot of people at some fests that are better than others. There's a festival in Wyoming that is amazing. They will put you up in a hotel to stay. They'll feed you. Stuff like that. Like, I wish that...
The little things.
Right, the little things. Taking care of the people who show up to present, you know. And it's just going to take work. And voicing our opinions and making the demands that we want and need to have a successful event and to make sure everybody's taken care of. And yeah.
Interesting.
Show us some appreciation. Give us lunch. Do something. I mean, you do swag. You see swag bags for VIP out of state at, you know, in Jackson Hole, we get fed lunch at the Beer Fest in Lander, Wyoming. We can go on a bike ride. Mm-hmm. We can go golfing. They give us hotel rooms. So just, you know, make us feel appreciated.
Yeah, not just showing up and dealing with a bunch of sometimes drunk assholes.
Yeah. That are not everybody's awful, but unfortunately, the one rotten person that's there just ruins, you know, the whole experience. So
fascinating. This is blowing my mind right now.
I would definitely say less beer fests.
Less beer fests.
Yeah.
More quality beer fests.
More quality beer fests. Gotcha.
Less, or more employees to work them.
Well, that too.
Yeah. If you have that many beer fests, then...
If you can get volunteers to...
Staff it up.
To staff it up, you know?
Blow my mind, ladies. Blowing my mind.
I mean, one of my favorite beer festivals that we that I've attended was the Utah Collab, like the Utah the Guild Fest. Yeah. That was so much fun. And it's amazing. Because we planned it. We put it together. We had... every bit of say, and it was a
brewer's beer fest.
It was a brewer's beer fest.
It was a beer industry beer fest.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was just so fun. You looked forward to it. It was like, I get to see all my friends and hang out with them and then, you know, pour beer for these
people.
That's
like my ultimate dream. Just get all my
fantastic
friends in the industry and just like, let's just have a good time and appreciate, you know, I would like love that. You ladies have a beverage in front of me.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. I'm curious.
So this is one that we haven't produced for a little while, but this was my first recipe that Roosters ever produced in a package. Not on draft, but in a package. And it's fermentation. It's a Cascadian dark. But I want to say that came out for the first time. I think it was 2017.
April of 2017.
April. Oh, there we go. April of 2017. But... all the hops in it are female names. So it's got Helga and Aurora in it because it was all about the ladies. And that I still am really, really proud of that beer. I love that beer. I love the dark hoppy beers. And we re-released it in, I want to say 2019, but we don't bottle anymore unless it's our barrel aged products. And we just haven't had a chance to get it in a can. Yeah. So,
this beer for me was my, part of my inspiration and request for our first Pink Boots collaboration beer.
Oh, this was a Pink Boots?
This one was not, but like based off of her recipe.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I was like, we need to do fermentation on a smaller scale, like not small, well, smaller scale, but smaller ABV.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that was, we did Mash the Patriarchy. That was our first Pink Boots collab beer, and that was at 25th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like at that time it was a 4% version of this beer, because this one's 7.5. And then it was brewed it last year in November. Weird. I don't know why that happened. Or I guess it was November of 2020. It's 2022 now. Right. But yes, it was brewed in November of 2020, at a 5%. So
jeez. And I think that was because releasing it in April, people's desire for dark beers didn't really carry through the spring. So introducing it in the late fall and early winter to
sexier.
See if it would.
And November is election month. So
yes, exactly.
That's maybe why.
I like that. Too. So what other ideas are we having for, you guys have cool names when it comes out with this, but what's another cool name you guys have in the works? Do we know yet?
We haven't talked about our Pink Boots name yet because we kind of go off style, but we've had some really good ones. We had on Wednesdays, we were Pink Boots. We had Zwickled Pink. Mm-hmm. That was great. But maybe, I don't know, maybe this is the year that we don't put pink in the name. We'll see. Yeah. It'll just be what it is, and then Pink Boots collab beer. So,
Yeah, I like that. That will hit just as hard, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ladies, you're super cool. Oh, this is awesome. All right. Jackie, upcoming events in brewing for you.
Oh, so we're hitting fest season. So we'll actually have Ogden Fests coming back March 19th. We'll have an Ogden Fest up here. So I want everybody to come up to Ogden and check it out.
And that's March 19th.
March 19th. It's at Union Station. It's our Ogden Downtown Alliance. So that one, it's kind of a smaller space at the Union Station. So we'll have about, I think, 13 breweries, and then we'll have our two big distributors up here pouring multiple breweries beers. So hopefully about 20 different breweries represented. I don't believe they're going to do liquor this year. They might, but for sure hard seltzers, and maybe some kombucha if that comes through, if that happens. Yeah. So yeah, they're cool. Reaching out. So we'll see what happens. And then yeah, just continuing with production out here and scaling recipes up. We don't have any new cans planned right away, but we have a couple of new ones that have come out this winter. We've got the Jetway in cans. We have our Snow Basin, this year's Snow Basin beer. We just released an amber lager. So High Desert will be coming in printed cans soon to grocery stores. Ooh. So if that's one of your favorite beers, it's probably my favorite label.
Oh, for sure.
And the printed can is super slick. I'm really excited about that. So watch for that at Harmon's, Fresh Markets, and some Smith's. So, cool. And Mavericks. So.
Yes, I'm excited. Jamie, upcoming cool events for 2022 at Ogden Zone?
One is in the works. I'm sure there will be many more to come. I'm just sort of helping plan something.
Cool.
Whether, you know, I'll come back to you when.
Don't worry about it.
When
I'm
it's
ready.
Set in stone.
Yeah. Let me know so I can announce these and help you guys boost it up.
Yeah.
Goals for 2022 for you ladies as a brewer, as a distiller in the industry, Pink Boots, and then personally, like just all in one. What's some goals you guys have for this year?
Oh man. Making the best beer possible. We increased production here at B Street in 2020 just because we basically started producing in 2019. So that's just the way everything was. 2021 saw almost us doubling those numbers, and I would like to see that growth continue. I would like to see our footprint for Roosters go a little bit bigger. We're in Idaho, Wyoming, Utah. We were in New Mexico, and New Mexico with COVID kind of fell off. But I would really like to have a pretty good presence here in the Intermountain West for Roosters. Personally, for beer, I want Lauren and I to do well at GABF. I won't say metal. I don't want to like curse it, but I want us to do well in the collaborative category with Jetway. And then I'm going to be doing a ton of rivers this year. Hopefully I'm going to be doing the Grand Canyon in May. So Ooh. I'm very excited about that. That's my first trip on the Grand. And really just getting out hiking and running rivers and camping as much as possible. Cause that's what makes me happy outside of beer. So
I like that. Jamie.
I don't have any professional goals that we haven't already covered for 2022. Personally, I would like to try and hit one national park every month.
Cool.
Of the year.
I like that. I like that. It's doable. You got this.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're able to, I'll give you an excuse to get out.
I know. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right now, we have this really gorgeous view of Ben Lomond Peak right now.
Yeah. Benny.
You ladies have a cool spot. Like, I think Ogden's really pretty. It's underrated when it comes to beauty.
It is.
It's the, you got Salt Lake, and then you have north of Salt Lake, and then you have south of Salt Lake. So I get the south part.
Yeah.
Right? And you guys get the north part.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have the pretty view of Timp.
Yeah, Timp's really cool. Yeah. I like that. And then
it's
you have
a beautiful mountain.
Lone Peak and the Y Mountain, like it's all mm-hmm. there. It's really mm-hmm. cool. And then Utah Lake is like back door.
Yeah.
I think we should make a field trip to Vernal and go see Ginger.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Vernal, I enjoy Vernal. I like that area. There's a bunch of really rad things out there. And dinosaurs. Yeah, Dinosaur National Monument, Fantasy Canyon, like all kinds of rad things. So
we were just there Black Friday having lunch there, trying the beers out over there. They had this really cool rosemary. It was a pink beer. It was rosemary and something. And it was, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was nice and floral, but it wasn't, it was still beer at the end of the day, but it was different. I wanted to talk to, I think Mark is the head brewer down there. I don't know. So I want to see, I was trying to meet him, but they were gone by then. And I just want to talk because I think it's veteran owned. I think Vernal is a veteran. I think isn't Ginger's husband? I don't know. Anyway, so Vernal, I got to get into Vernal because I want to understand what's going on over there because I don't see him at any festivals. I don't see him anywhere. It's hard. I can see there, they have an IPA and a stout in the DABCs, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's going on? Anyway, I hope they're doing all right.
They have a really fun chili beer, if you can find it. I really like that one. But they do a lot of out-of-state fests. Mm. They do a lot of Wyoming fests. So
it's right there. I can see that.
It's a lot closer.
Yeah. Mm. And you can pour whatever you want on draft, which is nice. They have a really nice draft trailer, which I'm always jealous of. They pull up to the beer fest, and I look at them, and I'm like, Ginger, one of these days, we're going to get one of those.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Ladies, so we've covered a shit ton today. Jackie, I just want you to know that you're well appreciated, and you are fantastic.
Oh,
I look
you.
Up to you. It's an honor to be in the... This is going to sound really cliche, but in the presence of you, it's super cool. I would love to learn more from you.
Oh, thank you.
I just can't wait. I would love one day to just come watch you work and just see how your mind goes.
Well, we're
going to
collab for sure. We're going to collab. And
I'm excited to see what your future holds. And if for whatever reason you no longer want to be in the beer industry or fermentation industry, just know I will forever be your friend.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So thank you for coming and taking up the offer that one day, ladies, and coming and let me interview y'all because it was super fun, super cool. And it was, for me, and I'm not kidding, it was life-changing. Aww. So thank you. Jamie, you are an all-star. You are super cool. You are, there's not a single person that doesn't like you. You are, like you said earlier, good people. You're the definition of that. So thank you for what you do, what you bring to the industry, what you bring to the table. Ladies, having you as my friends is awesome. So thank you.
We love you.
We love you, all-star. Yeah. Yes.
But thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. The time out of your busy Saturdays and busy life to sit here and just talk. And I hope we can do this more often.
Of course.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We need another pink boots.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Let's do that.
We'll do a round table where we can get
all the women,
15
yeah.
to 20 ladies present.
We can make that happen.
Yeah.
Give me some time. I can make that happen. It was a good idea.
Yeah.
It'd be a... Not an unofficial meeting we could have.
Yeah,
exactly.
And surprise them. Surprise podcast.
Get those new members on the mic. Yes. You and I and Lauren can sit back and let everybody else chat.
I'm okay with this. If I can somehow help in that way, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love that. But ladies, is there anything that I can do to help you out either professionally or personally?
You do so much.
You do so much for our industry. Yeah. So we really appreciate it. So
I do because you guys would do it too. Well, on that note, I say we end it here. Until our next beverage, my friends.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends. And thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.